They're the
liberal rednecks. They like cornbread, but sex, they care way too much, but don't give a fuck. They're the liberal rednecks. That makes some people upset, but they got three big old dicks that you can suck.
Well, here we are. Hey, Trey. Hey, Drew. This is the Well Read Podcast, the show where three dudes talk about stuff. We've also got other podcasts. Drew has Into the Abiscuit with DJ Lewis. Trey has the Weekly Skews. We also have Putting On Airs, me and Trey's new podcast. Y'all go check those out and leave us all 5-star reviews. We sure would appreciate you. Guys,
the season finale of Bubba Shaw the Podcast is this week.
Now, that's true. What song was it?
Should have been a cowboy.
That's true. Boy,
fitting in it.
Boy, we should have been, oughtn't we? Hey, do y'all know?
Not me.
I think,
you know, on that note, for people, you know, from last week, just last week, I guess, don't have the shades on. If we were in person up close, you would still look at me and be like, what the fuck is wrong with your eyes? They're not all the way back to 100% yet. But that makes me think all the time now, like, I would have either been executed or just allowed to die for sure in pretty much any other era other than this one. Because, like, nearsightedness is one thing. They had that back in cowboy days. There might have been some cowboys with glasses, but I doubt it, you know, pretty queer. So I don't know about that. But, like, the thing that I had to have surgery for, they wouldn't have been able to do nothing for that. And it would have relegated me to being a leprous beggar on the street and nothing more for show. So
you don't have, like, any confidence.
Like, I could have been some kind of
actor.
Got into some, I was going to say some warlock type stuff, maybe. Yeah. Like, because I feel like they could be all fucked up. Like, the fact I could be, like, blinded, essentially, and still wear a robe and throw, like, chickens into a cauldron or whatever, like that type of thing, maybe.
I think you just could have been a playwright.
Be a preacher. I would. And then just, like, say that God struck you with this affliction in an attempt to challenge you, and you will never forsake.
That's the other flip side of it, though, Corey. Is, like, I can't, like, Drew, what you just said, right. That might be a play, possibly, a play I could make in that scenario. But about what you said, Corey, the other thing I've always thought about that, like, in my head, I got to just keep it analogous to the situation I was born into in this timeline. Like, I can't fairly or rightly change that when I go back into the past. Well, so I would have been a fucking turd farming peasant, whatever. Like,
I know, but you're still smart.
I wouldn't have been able to read.
Yeah,
there's
right.
There's almost no
that's
way
true.
I would have been able to read, let alone write.
Nobody could read back then, though.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
You could read. You're smart.
Especially
enough.
The trash.
But
the
you're
trash.
Still, but you still, you know how comedy works and are a natural entertainer. So I'm saying, like, you could have walked into a theater and tried to do something.
Yeah, not a playwright, a play teller.
Maybe.
But
maybe. But I can't fart like you can fart. I mean, I can, but not.
You'd
like
have learned to fart.
No, I mean, actually, I fart.
You could sell wares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where am I going to get those wares? I get ripped off all the time.
No,
like, I know there
were
blind people back
savvy.
In the day, but
yeah,
you are fat and dumb and poor already in this world, son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Yeah,
he just means that nowadays we have more resources for a fat, poor, dumb person, I guess, to overcome. Whereas back
like
then,
letting them have books. Which
yeah,
is really
I
the
mean,
only reason that I overcame any of that.
Because dude,
they
back
used to let them have books, so I would have been fucked. Is all
before, like several generations before, like dude, the Romans. If there was someone who, I mean, it wasn't even blind. You could have just, if you weren't fit to be in the army, they just chunked you off a cliff because they
that
were like, you're not. Yeah, yeah, whatever.
The Romans.
I mean, the Romans did that too, I'm sure.
No, the Romans would adopt, like, they would let you keep your culture. The Romans' whole thing was to come in with an army, and that army weren't all Roman. It was other people they had conquered in the past, and
right.
They would be like, hey, you can keep living exactly how you're living. You just got to give us, like, 20% of everything, and if you don't, we're going to murder all your children and women.
Yeah, mafia style.
Yeah.
See.
Wasn't it Genghis Khan? He rolled like that too, didn't he? It was sort of just like, you know, you can, if you just give up, then you can be, you know, almost all right. But
look, Corey's
you
mouth's
try.
Open. He's doing research.
I was.
You try
I just
anything, motherfucker. Anything at all. we will go full Genghis Khan on your ass. And they did that to most of the world, I reckon.
Isn't it?
I'm sure if you're like an inscripted soldier and you don't hit, they're going to murder you or whatever. But when Rome came into a new place, they just wanted your money. They didn't care how you lived. I wanted to say that I read this quote this week and it's apropos, but it's not as funny as the bit you were doing, Trey. But it like moved me. It's hard for me to be moved. I haven't been moved in a while. I'm sitting in the bed I woke up in right now. They asked Margaret Mead back in the day, who was at the time famous cultural anthropologist, what the first sign of civilization is. You know, when she's studying bones and artifacts and all that, is it a stone bowl? Is it a knife? And she said, when she sees that someone had a healed femur bone, because in order for back then to have a femur broken and it heal without you dying from it, that means that you were among civilized people.
Right, because they had to take care of you. Yeah.
So they'd give you a year or two with your Dwayne eyes, Trey, and then they'd throw you off a cliff.
Man, breaking your femur ain't it.
Hell no. No, that ain't it at all.
That's wild to think about people surviving it back then, because like nowadays with all the stuff that we got, breaking your femur is still like a, boy, you better get that shit taken care of real quick and hope it didn't nick that artery or whatever the fuck. But like,
So not to argue with Margaret Mead, I think it'd be more civilized to kill somebody if you don't have pain pills and they got a broken femur.
I don't think it's just so much that like back then we would have been killed or whatever. I wouldn't have wanted to live. Like,
hell no.
Because like
I never meant to imply that.
Dude. No.
But past don't it.
I look at shows like The Walking Dead. And, you know, it's like the entire show is obviously just a quest for survival, but every single day is a nightmare just trying to get to the next day. And I'm like, I think I would have lasted a little bit, like being like, okay, well, like this will be over if I can just make it through. But once I got to like, I don't know, year two, year three, and I realized that the only reason that I'm surviving is so I can wake up and survive again, I'd be like, this is no life. And it seems like back in the old days on the prairie, that's just what it was like every day we're just attempting to make it to another day. And I'm like, if that's all there is, then I don't want to make it to the next day. Fuck that. Just let me die.
I feel like we've done a version of this convo before, because I feel like I'm on the record, but like the 70s, I would do it. I would go back to the 70s in a heartbeat. There would be things that would be harder, but there would be things that would be better, especially as a white man, I think.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But anything other than that, like I'm sure there's some examples if you could be rich. Like,
yeah,
I'm
of sure course.
If you could experience very specific aspects of Roman culture or one of them Ming Dynasty type situations, right. If you were in it, it'd be like, yeah, man. Like,
right.
That's why I said the thing earlier about like, I feel like it's only fair that I keep it consistent with like my station in life.
Because you would have hit even less back then.
I used to have a bit where I sort of touched on that a little bit, where it's like, because I feel like a lot of people will watch shows like that where that's all you're seeing is the high society types or whatever, and there's like a romantic quality to it, and it's like, motherfucker, you wouldn't have been you'd have been a goddamn filth monger fucking throwing cabbages around and shit, like covered in muck. Like it would not have hit for almost, if you're like the son of an industry titan or something like that, you're like a trust fund kid or whatever, then you can watch all those shows and be like, that hit to experience that. Cause it's like, you would have been one of those people presumably. And that would have hit for you. But for almost all of us, fuck every single thing about all.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, Andy
a lot of those.
I really romanticize the, like, I'm a big fan of the Roaring Twenties, just as far as like period pieces and stuff, like, you know, Boardwalk Empire is my shit. Like that era, I just love it. But like, of course, when they're showing it to you, it's always the rich people at the speakeasies hanging out with the flappers. But like most of the country was suffering through a literal depression. And like, to be rich in any time would be good. But I still feel like though being rich in the 1700s, I still wouldn't like that.
Well,
because there still wasn't electricity.
The other side of that, it would have hit way harder to be rich back then than to be anything else, but I think it hits harder to just be just a regular person today than to be a rich person back then, just because of all the fucking creature comforts and medicine shit. We, you know, antibiotics, dog, pretty big deal. Air conditioning, that's what's up. Like, I feel like if you could somehow make a 17th century baron, if you could somehow make him comprehend and compare my life and his life, which you couldn't do.
Yeah.
But it'd be
impossible. He would think your life hit harder.
It'd be beyond him. But if you could somehow make him comprehend all of the differences and parallels and stuff, I think that they would choose to swap places with me if they had the opportunity to do so.
I have a genuine question, like I guess and a slight challenge to your theory. Your life now, or like your life when you were working at O'Charlie's and motherfuckers were yelling at you because the Sprite wasn't right?
I mean, now, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying, like, though? Like,
you still had the internet.
So many different versions of class in America. Like, and I'm sure we got people listening right now who get up at 7 and go to work every day who are like, bruh, you think not, you know, you think getting chlamydia would keep me from wanting to live with somebody feeding me grapes? Fuck that. Give me the chlamydia right now. I don't need antibiotics.
I was actually thinking about like Meghan Markle the other day, and me and my sister were talking about this, and like, you know, they famously exited the royal life or whatever. And my sister was like, I just don't see how she could do it. Like, why wouldn't she want to be a part of that lifestyle? And I was like, okay, I'm not saying let's break out the world's tiniest violin for Meghan Markle. However, the royals and that whole lifestyle is like every single day is regimented. You've got to do all these insane things. Your whole life's on a schedule. You have zero freedom whatsoever. Yes, you get fancy dinners and stuff like that, but you also have to wear a suit to breakfast. I said, Meghan Markle's life before, she had 7 seasons on Suits. Like, her life was great. And to me, if, like, not taking somebody that's working a meal every day, but I swear to God, I would rather have Meghan Markle's pre-royal life than her post-royal life. Like, I would rather have genuinely my life right now than to have the life of a royal, because, like, I make a good living and I also do whatever the fuck I want. And I'm not saying woe is the royals, but, like, if you're already doing okay, like, that bump in lifestyle to me don't seem fucking worth it.
So I was with you 100% on her life when she had 7 seasons. As I think, or I assume that she had a certain amount of money, more than us. I mean, even more than both of y'all who have more money than me. Like, but that second part, you wouldn't trade your life now for a royal?
No.
I would.
I mean, I like my
if
life.
If the contract was forever, I would be like, no. But if it was like, would you just trade? Well, yeah, I'll give it 2 years.
Okay.
If I hate it, I'll be like, you know, fuck off.
Okay, in that world, maybe. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, I genuinely love my life, and I do whatever I want. And it's not like I have millions of dollars, but, like, I also don't have, like, champagne taste on a Miller Lite budget or whatever. Like, I'm like the opposite. Like, the things that make me happy don't cost a shit ton of money. So, like, I am really comfortable. And, like, dude, I just couldn't stand to be like, well, you're like, I was reading an article one time where I think it was Prince William or something was like, to be a royalist, to know what you're doing today 10 years from now. You know what I mean? Like, you, at your whole scale. And I'm just like, that ain't it.
He was born into it.
Yeah. He don't have another.
If you switch places or you married a duchess right now, and I genuinely don't know the answer to this, how would they make you?
Well, you, because, like, then you're just not in the family. No, they just, like, if you want to be a royal, this is it. Otherwise, you're just not in a goddamn family.
Yeah, but, like, that's what Merkel was like, nah. And they were like, all right, you got to leave. And she was like, okay. And then Spotify gave her $25 million. I'm giving it a shot. I want to see the vaults. I want to know what's going on in the Vatican. I want to be a royal.
Okay, I guess you're right. But I'm in my scenario, to make it more palatable, it's my life as it is, or I have to be that forever. And no, fuck go that. That's what I'm saying. Like, none. Yeah, I understand how someone cleaning porta potties for a living would want to do that, but I like my life, and I like not wearing a suit to breakfast.
But let me ask you: you may not know, they've left, though. Like you said, they're, like, disowned now or whatever.
Yeah.
But do they still have any access to any money? And you already said they got rich again. So, either way, but, like, are they cut off from all of it completely? Because
from what I've read, when they decided to leave the royal family, one of Harry's biggest surprises was like, oh, I didn't mean the money part, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm literally just talking about having watched The Crown. The guy from back in the day, the queen's uncle that abdicated.
Edward VIII.
right, like, he still was loaded and everything, right? They, like, he walked away from it all, but he still – because all I was going to say is I feel like if you can just quit, but they'll still, like, you've got, a line of credit or whatever, but yeah. You just ain't involved with none of the rest of it, like, that seems like that would be pretty sweet because then you don't have to do all the bullshit, but you still got money and you ain't got to worry about nothing.
Well, his
– but if that ain't how it works –
His was a little different because, A, he was the king for a second. He never got coronated, yeah. But he was the king for a second. And also, I think you remember in The Crown, he literally, like, came to his brother and he was like, his brother's like, are you really going to do this to me? And he's like, yes, I am. And he goes, well, then I don't want you in this country. And he said, okay, well, you'll have to pay me to leave. And so that was kind of his deal. But he also had to, like, take up some secondary incomes and whatnot, which they showed in the show, like him having all these magazine people come there and pay him for interviews. Cause like the amount that some of the royals make per year just from their royal salary is surprisingly lit. I know that it seems like we're doing an episode of fucking putting on airs here, but like Prince Andrew at one point before he got in with Epstein or whatever was only his royal income was $200,000 a year. And
he didn't have to pay for anything. That right. was just cash money.
Yeah, that
sure well, he had access to the royal jet and the royal stable of thoroughbreds.
Yeah, 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 for sure. That's
the royal
true. But that's
child sex island and all that shit.
No, you're right. But that's,
I was going to bring up property.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. But that still was a surprisingly like lower number than I thought. But like, no, I'm pretty sure. Again, unless I'm wrong, that like Harry kind of was like, wait, I didn't mean take my money. And they were like, look, if you're not us, then you don't get the money anymore. Which, like, dude, of course, Meghan Markle and Harry will never not be loaded just on who they are. However,
didn't Spotify literally give them $25 million and they did one episode?
Yes, yes, it's true.
Yeah, that literally happened.
But like, what?
I missed all of that, the Spotify thing completely.
Yeah, I did too, but I just believe you.
No, I saw a headline the other day. I didn't, go read the article because I don't give a fuck about any of these people. Mm-hmm. But just contractually, that's wild. I'll look it up. You guys, Corey, you got stuff to say about
we'll keep the, yeah, well, we'll, and I'll let you right know. After this, we'll talk about it.
Yep.
Hey, we're back. Of course, you all know the breaks aren't really breaks, so Drew is still looking. It's only been a couple of seconds since I said I'd give him a minute to look it up by taking a break. Breaks ain't real. So he ain't found it yet. So I'm just jibber jabbering right now to sort of cover the time. I have a different rich people subject that this has reminded me of that I want to ask y'all about where we can get to it.
It was
but
$30
wanna...
million
for okay, one well, episode or something?
What's the details?
And they gave him $30 million for an exclusive deal with Spotify to make content for something called Archwell Audio, which is a nonprofit that the couple run. They were trying to build a show team and do it all themselves. Basically, Spotify gave them the money and was like, let us know what you got. But apparently, instead of like asking for the money back, Spotify is now, quote, taking it into their own hands. So now, instead of the princess or the queen telling her how to live, she has Spotify telling her where she's going to be and what she's going to do. I guess that is a little more palatable, though, because it's like, this is a job.
At least it's a job.
All Spotify wanted out of it was one podcast featuring them. That was the idea.
I don't know. You mean one podcast or one podcast episode? What are you asking?
Surely it can't be one episode for 30
It's not one episode. One episode is what they came up with on their own for the whole year. And so Spotify is now saying, instead of give us the money back, they're saying, we are producing this for you.
Yeah.
You have a $30 million budget. We're going to use some of that money,
Yeah. It's funny. Spotify's like, turns out these people don't know how to work.
Yeah. I know, too, that they were trying to start they're now trying to start a production company because they had pitched a show to Netflix and Netflix ended up not going with it. And when I heard that, I was like, God damn, what chance do I have? Like, if the fucking former Duke and Duchess of Sussex or whatever pitch you a show and Netflix is like, we're not really buying it. Like, why the fuck would they ever want some shit from me?
The Obamas have a production company, too, and they're definitely getting stuff on the air more than most production companies were, but I'm pretty sure at least a couple of their things have been passed on.
Yeah, that's just crazy to hear and let everybody know, like, how insane that process truly is, because you feel like Obama could just be like, he's not pitching stuff. He's just going there and going, well, this is what I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. Turn on the camera.
Isn't Malia a writer for Atlanta?
Something like that.
I don't know, but if she is, she's doing a good job.
It's something like that, yeah. She's a like a TV writer of some kind somewhere, I think. What this conversation somehow made me think of was talking about, or I was thinking about, like, rich people in the world of entertainment in particular, and they got former athletes, but also, like, stars and stuff, people that hit a real good lick or multiple real good licks, make a whole lot of money, but then keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes you see people doing stuff and it's like, well, you know, they had a real bad divorce and played mm-hmm. ponies too much or whatever else, you know, Nicolas Cage, they blew it all on haunted tombs and dinosaur bones, you know, whatever. Like, shit like that happens. Like, ESPN 30 for 30 broke, like that type of thing.
Ooh, that's so they brutal,
have to
man.
Keep, they have to keep working, but there's also a lot of them who don't, who you know are just still loaded, but also, like, still work all the time.
Yeah, they like
and
it.
I'm just wondering what y'all think about that.
I've definitely started thinking about it different the older I get and the more into, like, this business I get. Because when I was a kid, that was unfathomable to me. Because, like, but my only experience with work was, like, having to work at the gas station, hauling hay, working retail that sucks. So anytime I heard someone that just, like, chose to work, like, they didn't have to do anything, but they chose to do it, I was just like, what are you talking about? But then I understand that, like, some people like what they do. Like, if you're, like, a sport, like a football player, like, Troy Aikman don't need no goddamn money. You know what right. I mean? Most people do like more money. And also, he loves the game of football. Like, Troy Aikman talking football is what he would be doing for free anyways. And I think, like, I always think in terms of, like, if we had a show that went 9 seasons and got syndicated, because, like, that, right, if you have a show that gets syndicated, you're like, Ray Romano don't have to do shit the rest of his life. But, like, I still would want to do things. And I would just be real cheesy, you know, yeah. like I don't
I think
have
that's
like,
what I would do too. I would yeah, only it's just do like, things that super hit for me, the idea of doing yeah. nothing else. And if I got to a point where I had lost the opportunity to do any of those things, like things that hit don't want me, well, then at that point, I'll just go out, to my lake house or whatever, and then I'll just chill.
Yeah, I think
a lot of retired people, especially, you know, if they retire a little young, they do get real depressed. I mean, that's why they end up going on cruises so much. And a lot of them, it's why they end up rich retired people end up living in communities, retirement communities. They don't need to. They just are, they're bored. They're lonely. So I think people, especially creative people, want to, you know, do their old job. And when it gets taken from you, yeah, I think you come up with other stuff to do. I think you'd chill at the lake house for maybe a year, and then you would consider washing your mouth out with a shotgun. And then you'd have to come up with, you know, a new way to just have a schedule, have some stuff to do. And I'm sure it would take different people different amounts of time. It takes me like 2 weeks at home and I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
Like, I need something to do. When I was younger, I thought I would travel. As I get older, though, even that, it's like I kind of want to travel for 2 weeks out of the year now.
Yeah, right.
And that's well, it.
Also, like the CEOs and stuff, and I know they're megalomaniacs, and that's the answer there, right?
That all they care about is the money.
It's more, too. And there's never enough for people right. like that. And that's the only answer you need for them. But for example, that Tom from MySpace,
yeah,
that guy sold MySpace when it still hit for an insane amount of money, and then he just fucked off and has traveled the world, and apparently he takes pictures. He's like a photographer, but not really, not a professional.
Right.
He just goes to really pretty places and takes pictures and posts them on Instagram, and that's all he's done ever since. And it's like, yeah, in my head, it's like, that is what's like, that makes yeah. sense to me.
No, I like, you know, me too.
He's like, one he's trying to get lit. Better. He's like doing stuff. He's like, even right. though it's not for a job, it's like there's something for him to do during the day. I seriously think I would farm. I think farming, if it's not like, and your hunger is reliant upon it, would actually be interesting.
Yeah,
I like gardening a lot. I would take pictures of that. You know, I would fuck Andy in the garden. It would hit.
I would do all that stuff too, for the record, because I'd have the time to do it. But I know me, like, I would still, even like you said, we're talking about the hypothetical situation where you've made one good lick and you don't need anything, but also Hollywood has decided they were done with even your passion project stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I'd just be making a lot of stuff on my own. Like, I would just be like, yeah, like, cause I like doing it. Like, I would still like my need to create and also express myself. It's not like money has ever solved that or taken care of it. If I garden, I would then have, I know me, I would hire a little crew and I'd have a at home gardening YouTube show or I'd do a podcast. I think I would constantly be working on things that I always want to do and just putting them out myself.
Yeah.
And
the need for validation is not going to go away.
No, sure. Never. I'm saying, like,
if it was money, you'd be in a different business that was going to validate.
For sure.
Like, I think also though, related to that, as I get older, learning new stuff don't hit for me. It does for a minute or two, but like it's harder. Your brain, and there's like some psychology and biology behind that. Your brain's not as spongy. It's harder to learn new stuff. So like I wouldn't want to sit at home and not do anything. So yeah, I mean, honestly, I would travel the world and do stand up. Like if we got to a point where we hit enough that's where we were at, I would be famous enough to just like go to London, not tell anyone. And then like be like, hey, you remember that dumb TV show I had? I'd like to do 10 tonight.
Right.
And then I'd probably post it for the validation if it went well and then pretend like I didn't do it if I bombed.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd like, if I had literally all the time in the world, like I could see me for the first 2 or 3 years spending like an insane amount of time researching and doing like some deep dive podcast on like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like something I don't have at all time for now, nor would nobody pay me for it. But like I do, I'm the opposite though. And I think it's because I fucked off in middle school and high school and I didn't go to college. My desire to learn has never been higher, but I feel like it's because I'm trying to catch up to where everybody else already is now that they've given up. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, because I feel like when we were on tour the first few years, and it's just now starting to kind of wind down as Andy and I are like preparing to have kids, although but in some ways it's ratcheting up because I know that's the end of it. I was such a fucking go-getter in my 20s. I was such a fucking terrified of ending up in my hometown. I'm going to go to law school, chip on my shoulder. Then I became a lawyer and I'm going to be the best trial lawyer. I tried to catch up on partying. Like, yeah, right. I started doing drugs in my 30s. So I do get what you mean, just kind of in reverse.
Yeah, right. You're doing the, I guess, what a lot of people do. Like, you put in the work all those years and now you're like, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. And like, now, and I've, in my opinion, never been more of a good, because I, dude, in my 20s, I thought I was such a go-getter in comedy, but just getting fucked up and doing shows isn't a go-getter. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like
man's just working hard.
Just like, it's like, in my opinion,
I mean, a whole lot of comics feel that it is, no, you know, believe that it
no,
is, especially
I know.
Young comics, you know, like, they yeah. definitely think that that is, you know, really grinding what you're
and it's
getting
I
fucked
mean,
up and going to shows.
Like, I'm not saying that's not part of it. Of course, like, you got to do a lot of shows
important.
And stuff. But like, I remember like being like 10 years in and just could not understand why I wasn't further along, because I had done all these shows and I'd put in so much time. And it's like, what does any of that matter if you're not doing it in front of anybody that can get you anything, or you're like, as soon as you do that show and that audience leaves, it's over. Nobody at fucking JJ's Bohemia is sitting there with a clipboard like, I'm going to send this guy to NBC. Like, fucking, you know what I'm saying? So like, only now am I like, oh, play the game. Like, it's the game you got to play. You know, that reading Marie Antoinette biographies. I'm really into that.
Yeah. All that shit I said earlier about one good lick and then going, you know, and gardening and whatever else, like, you know, I do want to think that, but I bet I wouldn't, because I've had a realization about myself before too, like that I, without thinking about it, I keep myself really busy and kind of always have, like when I was in, I think it's cause you know, I don't know, just part of it is what Drew said, like never having a safety net and all that shit, and just being like, yeah, I got to, I ain't got no choice, but also like I can't stop to think too long about
exactly
stuff don't hit. And so like
idle mind is the devil's workshop,
like,
my friend.
When I was in college, I've you know, taking full-time schedule, working 30 hours a week, and I was doing all kinds of extracurriculars and stuff. Like I would wake up in the morning, go to class, and like not be done with the day until, you know, 10 o'clock that night or something, and then usually go to a bar and get hammered and wake up and do it again. You could do that in your 20s. But I was like, I had very, very little free time at that point in time. And then I realized, again, I don't think about it that way, but I just do that to myself. Like, over the course of the pandemic, it started a Patreon and multiple other podcasts. And, you know, then even after we're going back out on the road and just, you know, adding stuff on, because, like, I just, you know, it's like I need – So if all that did go away, even if I made a shitload of money and then all that went away, I wouldn't be cool just, like, sitting around. But I'd like to think I'd figure out – something that just hit for me to do that I didn't attach any amount of worry or stress to, because that's the other side of it for me, is like, if I care about something, I'm also going to stress out about it, which I think defeats the purpose of, you know, hitting one good lick. You know what I mean? Like, if you hit the good lick, it should just be stuff that it
doesn't, like, stress you out at all.
Hobbies. Even if your hobby is like doing this one silly podcast I got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, right. Everything.
But it'd be hard.
I've got a real bad habit of trying to, I don't know if monetize my hobbies is the right. Yeah, it probably is. Like, me and my therapist were talking one time about, he's like, you know, you need things to do that aren't comedy. You need things that are just your hobbies. And I started talking about all the things that I like to do. And I was like, but every single time I'm super into comic books, my brain immediately goes to, you should do a comic book podcast. I'm super into that. Well, then you should do that. And like, the only thing that I really have in my life, cause even when I go on my like 2 and 3 hour walks, almost every time while doing that, I'm listening to a podcast that is research for putting on airs or something else. So it's like killing two birds with one stone. And I realized the only thing I have in my life that is purely, I think, that's just like, this is a thing I do and a thing I love, is golf. But at the same time, I'm constantly trying to get better at golf, so that when the phone rings for the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, I'll have my handicap down enough to qualify for it. And I know that if the more I play golf and the better I get, I'm definitely going to try to pitch something to Golf Network. It's just how my goddamn brain's wired.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I know I've heard it.
Yeah, we're
Bill
broken.
Burr say on other podcasts something very close to what you started out. It's not literally don't monetize your hobbies, but it's something in that vein. I've heard him repeat it a few times where it's like, you know, don't try to make money off your hobbies or make people pay you for your hobbies or something like that, because that's not what they're for. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, because he loves to drum and shit like that, but he ain't trying to use that for nothing.
Right.
It's like, no, that's for me.
Right.
You know, so like,
I don't even post about some of them for that reason, because I like feel like, especially like where I'm at, you know, it's like a lot of what I'm doing for free anyway, you know, like a lot of like I'll be posting stand up clips. You know, I'm not making any money off this, but it's my job. I'm making content to, you know, attract or keep followers or whatever. So I refinished a table of Andy's that's been in her family for a while. I posted that. But everything I've done wood-wise since I have, which hasn't been a lot, to be fair, I haven't posted any of it, because in my mind, like, the way my career currently is, it's basically the same thing. I'm basically monetizing or professionalizing or whatever content making with my hobby, and I don't even want to do that, you know?
The way, and Burr kind of touched on this too, the way I am about that part of it is like for me, so I, you know, baking, and also like I learned to play the ukulele, not great, but I can, you know, play it some, but like shit like that, I'm never, ever going to post any of that shit, generally speaking, because like there are people who that's what they do and they hit at it. And like I hit at comedy and funny videos and stuff like that. So I post those. I'm not going to throw my half-ass bullshit at people just because like I have fun doing it, and also that's not the point of it for me, so like, you know, fuck all that. And also I ain't gonna lie, I just ain't trying to invite the internet.
Oh, because that's
the reasons my cinnamon babka doesn't actually hit. It's like, fuck, well, you, I feel pretty good about
no
it.
No doubt the worst, dude. So, no
I
doubt
music with Andy, and like I won't let her post none of that shit. My voice is terrible. Like, my rhythm ain't great, but like I enjoy it, you know.
I've told my wife a million times, and this is 100% true, I could go online and post the most divisive political statement or video or whatever, and the comments are not nearly as wretched as if I post a picture of, in my opinion, a perfectly seared steak. Because, right, like, food Twitter and food Instagram or whatever, mm-hmm, like, you cannot make, no matter what you do to so many people, it was the wrong goddamn thing. And it's just, mm-hmm, it honestly, I've been bothered by that more than I've ever been bothered by your fucking politics sucks. I'm like, well, I'm right, you're wrong, whatever the fuck. But yeah, no, you're right, man. When you start posting food online, you open yourself up to a very dark corner of the internet, which does not hit.
Well, let's draw a distinction, though, between posting a picture of your food or a clip of you playing ukulele or you hitting a golf shot off the tee, though, versus like a decision to, I like golf, let me make funny videos about it. Because, sure, like, I never entertained in my mind, like, oh,
right,
people will think that this refinished table is super impressive, but I can make fun of people who take that very seriously.
Yeah.
And then I go, no, I don't want to do that, though. Like, I don't want to make this hobby into the job.
If I probably, I may not do it anyway, but I don't, my kitchen is tiny and it's just not great. Like, it's, and if I had a Hittner kitchen, like, I might do parody cooking videos, because cooking videos are such a thing on the internet. And that, to me, that's completely different, because we are comedians, and that, yeah, would be for the, sure, point of that would be to make fun of something. And I, you know, I would do that. I'm not, because I don't have the setup for it, and I might not even if I did. But yeah, that's a completely different,
but that's
why
that's a tougher, or like a conversation that requires us to go a little deeper, because, okay, I'm not posting pictures of, you know, me singing, because I, my ego, and it's dumb, and that's not the world I'm in. But what I thought we were kind of discussing is, have you made choices not to involve something you care about as a hobby in comedy? Like, it would be a legitimate thing for you to do, but you don't want baking, as an example, Trey, to ever be the job.
This isn't what you're asking, but I don't really joke. I don't really have bits, and never really have, about my kids for the most part. And that's pretty rare amongst, it's not unique. There are other comics that have kids that are like that. But generally speaking, if a comedian has kids, because you write what you know, they're going to have jokes about their kids. I have no problem with the comedians who do that doing it. But I just don't, because I'm intensely private about, like, that relationship. That's really all that it is. So I've never, you know, felt inclined to write material about them. When they get to be teenagers and shit, it might be different. And that's the only thing that, you know, even somewhat applies to what you're saying there, except it also isn't exactly the same. But I did that one. I did a recap series for only the final season of Game of Thrones. And, like, I actually really enjoyed doing that. I'm super proud of how that turned out. I think that's actually some of the funniest shit I've ever done. I know I've said that before, but those videos are fucking, they're really good, in my opinion. They hold up. Part of that is because I didn't decide to do that before the season started, because I wanted to make fun of Game of Thrones the whole time, because I was a huge fan of Game of Thrones. I didn't know how that season was going to go. But once it started going the way it was going, what was I supposed to do? I couldn't act like it wasn't happening.
Right.
So afterwards, because that didn't do great, but it did okay. And we were touring at that time, and there would be people every now and then in the meet and greet who would come up and say that, like, they knew me from that, not the political shit or whatever. Like, that did happen a little bit. So after that, I was like, I need to think of another show or something to do that with and for. But there were a lot of, like, A, there's only one Game of Thrones. It was a cultural phenomenon.
You wanted to be something everybody you're a super fan of.
Everybody watched it. That's hard to find a replacement for. Yeah, something I'm a super fan of, but it's funnier when you're making fun of it. But also, another thing in my head was, like, I ain't really trying to be a critic, though.
No.
Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get into that game, which is really, even though I'm being funny, it's like, you're really dancing pretty close to just being a critic of shows. And I'm a comedian, and I'm trying to make stuff. And, you know, there's the critics, and then there's the people that, you know, are being critiqued. And I want to be the latter. So for all those reasons, I was just like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that again. I'm not ruling it out with the right show in the future, maybe. But yeah, there were a lot of reasons that I thought, even though I had had some success with that format, that I probably ought not do more of it.
Yeah, well, we had, I mean,
to me, what I'm hearing, and maybe we have differences in opinion on what that phrase means, don't turn, you know, don't monetize your hobby. To me, don't monetize your hobby, for me, doesn't mean don't try to make money working with wood. It means don't involve woodworking in your comedy.
Right.
So, like, you did kind of monetize or professionalize your Game of Thrones fandom there. You don't regret it at all, though.
Mm-mm. I had the same... No. I had the same hang up on that whole not wanting to be a critic thing. On my old podcast, Through the Screen Door, we used to have a segment called Bread or Wine. And the whole point of the segment was we'd go back and watch an old movie and determine whether it, you know, aged like bread or aged like wine. And I was like, oh, I love that. I love old movies. I love watching movies. I'd love this to be part of my thing. And like, my co-host, Matt Coon, we don't have the same sensibilities and not wanting to be a critic. So he would be like super harsh about him. And I always found myself being like, man, I might know one of the dudes that wrote on this. You know what I mean? Or like, and like, God dang, like, I don't know. We're all trying to do our best. And I just couldn't, I could not shit on things. Cause part of my philosophy and pretty much everything is like, look, if I don't like something, you'll, unless it's a politician that represents my area, if I don't like something and it's completely inconsequential to the world, you'll never hear that I don't like it, because that's why would I watch a movie and it sucks, then I won't watch that movie again. Now, if I watch a movie and I love it, I can't wait to stand up on my soapbox and scream to everybody, you should go see this movie. Like, I really like it.
The problem with that is, and I ran it because I feel the exact same way and I had all the same thoughts. But, like, I don't care. I'm not saying you can't make it, like, sort of work. It's just an objective fact, in my opinion. The negative reviews, when something is bad,
yes,
it's so much funnier.
Of like, course.
If you just are talking about something that you love, it hits for you real hard.
Yeah, new Doctor Strange, people don't want to hear
whatever,
that.
You do a recap of that, it probably ain't going to be funny. You
know? No, or I agree.
Not very funny, because it's just like, this super hits. Okay, right. Cool. That's great. But, like, making fun of something and making jokes about it is way more funny and entertaining, but I'm with you. I don't want to be that guy either. So,
it's also related to Corey. I think what you were saying about how the way your brain works, like, okay, I like golf. Maybe I'll pitch something to the Golf Network. Like, you're kind of, you're always in that mindset. And I mean, you have to be if you want to make it at a high level in the very competitive thing that we do. But like, you're obviously also, some part of you is thinking like, and this is true, you know, you shit on this one thing and then you might see that person at a pitch meeting or whatever.
For sure.
Then that gets back to a thing the internet has created, and amazingly talented people have paved the way for this. I think it did used to be that comics were sort of expected to do that. But like, we weren't making TV way back in the day or what, you know, like no one was going to give Bill Hicks a fucking sitcom or whatever, you know, because he was a dick. That's what he was supposed to be. But now with the internet and more hyphens, they call them out here in our business.
Yeah.
It's like, we're basically actors who have a skill of doing stand-up comedy. I mean, not all of us. I'm kind of not, but like, that's kind of what the industry is now, right? You're a creator,
for sure.
And stand-up is one of the things you do.
You have to be a multi. I mean, like, nowadays you have to be one. It's like, yeah, if you're in the entertainment industry at all, then you're almost in, like, at our level, at least, like, you got a hand in like kind of everything, or at least like some of the players are the same on every level. And like, yeah, like, I think about that shit all the time. Like, like just the other day I saw a comic retweet. They had just canceled a show had just been canceled, and they retweeted it and they were like, I can't believe it ever made one season. Ha ha ha. And I was just like, I literally know the guy that wrote on that. Like, we don't think about these things anymore, but like, why are you shitting on this? Like, what did your tweet serve? It didn't do anything, but it made you look like a fucking dickhead to someone who otherwise might have thought, this guy's funny, we should have him work on some. Oh, he just shit on my thing. Fuck him.
But at the same time, and there's only one Anthony Jeselnik, but just as an example, I want Anthony Jeselnik to shit on things.
Yeah, if that's your whole thing, it's different.
Yeah. Right. That's his whole deal, you know, so, which I do.
Fair. Him, so, Jeff, you know, Ross, like that's their whole example. Yeah. But
don't you kind of want to know? It's like, all right, we've been group chatting about the NBA all week, how everyone's just shitting on CP3, and it's like they finally got their chance to, and this is how they really feel. It is interesting.
Of course.
So, like, I have to say that
as someone who wants a job, I'm not going to get involved in that. But as a former comedy fan, before I did comedy, it is stifling a little bit. It would be interesting if we were talking shit about each other's projects.
Yeah, right. For sure. No, people do love that stuff. But like, in my opinion, I'm not people anymore, if that makes sense.
There it is, folks. There
you go. You know what I'm saying, though.
We're going to break right now for the people who bought us.
All right. Yep. We'll be right back.
Corey's elevated to a new plane of existence above PayPal into what? Hitters, the hidden realm.
Hit adjacent.
Yeah,
I was hit adjacent last night for Carmen's. By the way, go watch Carmen on HBO, everybody. She just did a HBO special with a lot of hitters, and some of them were talking about shows they worked on that they know suck. That's another thing is like, you don't always have control over that kind of thing.
That's actually exactly what I was about to bring up. And Corey alluded to it earlier. And I think it's like if you know, we've had failed pilots. I've had other failed pilots over the years. And going through that experience, I think, adds to some of this. But also, you can know this without having that experience. But you realize at a certain point, like, pretty much no one wants to make something shitty. Everybody's like trying to hit, and they're doing their best and they're working hard. And like, you can have people who are so talented, super talented, working on a thing and doing their absolute level best. And then that thing still does not hit because there's so many examples. There's so many different things that go into making something that hits. And it's like you almost got to catch lightning in a bottle every time anything hits, unless you've got a dedicated hit formula like Marvel does.
That's why we were talking about how wild James Cameron's ass is.
Right, because he just disappears for a decade and shows up and hits harder than anybody ever has in the world and then disappears for another decade. Yeah, he is wild. But, like, you know, studio people, producers that gave a lot of money to it that don't know, they've all got their opinions. You try to please everybody because you have these masters you got to serve, whatever. You name it. There's a million different ways that something can get fucked up. Too many cooks, all that shit. Like, when you realize that, like, it takes a lot of that vitriol out of – we watch something that just don't hit, and it's kind of like – it's like, oh, man, that one just didn't come together. I feel bad for the people involved, and I'm not just like, God, what the fuck were these idiots thinking? What a piece of shit, you know what I mean? Because, like – I know they weren't, you know, that ain't what anybody was trying to do. And it can just happen. It can very easily just happen to you. So I have, empathy for that now.
For the record, I think they've got like that channel on YouTube that's like Honest Trailers, you know, that one.
Yeah.
And they'll shit on stuff, but like they're still doing it in a jokey there's jokes there. There's funny. I'm talking about that when I see people just shit on something to shit on something and they're not bringing anything humorous to it. I don't understand that.
But like even those people, the Honest Trailer people, have probably locked themselves into being a type of critic.
For sure.
But I'm saying they're at least putting thought into it.
Right. They're a good critic, but they're not a creator.
They make a lot of money. They got a popular channel and a following and they're doing great. But also, like, that's what they do and that's what they're going to be doing.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And I think it's because of that. You know,
it
like,
is.
Like, you can't really be both. And that's why I was saying earlier. It's like, I know which one I'd rather attempt to be. So
speaking of getting locked into something, one thing that happened last night that was very pleasant for me, a pretty famous comedian, very famous comedian's wife listens to our podcast. And we were talking about it. And she was like, I just like because, you know, you guys, you don't ever go too deep. It's always lighthearted. And like I spent some time in rural Wisconsin. You guys remind me of those people I grew up around. And so apparently we've shifted the podcast away from politics enough that there are people who discovered us late enough who it's not even, there's no deep issues connected with, they just think of us as the, we like cornbread and butt sex guys.
Well, that is wonderful to hear. I think that anybody that used to come to this podcast strictly for politics has either jumped ship or was like, well, okay, I can do this too.
Well, they killed themselves the third year of the Trump administration because they were feeble-minded.
There's been several of those.
Trey,
you okay, Trey?
Drop my bike. Rolled away.
That don't.
What's funny is I said, I've been over here. You see me looking around. I've been looking for it for forever, and I just found it.
Was it under your belly roll?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that happens to me all the time. I just found it, pulled it out, and then dropped it immediately for real. Yeah. So
that's my the best thing about getting in semi-decent shape is that I no longer lose my remote control in my belly as much as I used to. Because I would sit it.
Fuck all the shit you and Robbie been doing. That's the pitch, dude. That's the commercial right there.
Dude, I used to, like, when I was laying on the couch, I would, like, it's one of those little skinny smart TV remotes, and I would just, like, sit it right there, like, on my waistband or whatever, and then just kind of forget about it and fidget with stuff. I have gotten up. I had gotten up so many times.
All the time.
And went to the kitchen and lifted my arm like this, and the remote fell from my belly crease.
I don't. I never make it to the kitchen, but I have this thing. I'll be sitting down and I'll just lose a jewel or something. You know, they're small. There's and I'm poking all over my fat self, and I cannot. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? What the hell? And I know in my head, I'm like, I literally don't know where it can be because I feel like I've looked everywhere on my person. But I know when I stand up from this chair, it's going to materialize and fall out of my fat self somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it does all the time. Or I can't tell you how many times I don't think about that at all. I'm not looking for it. And I stand up and things just fall out of me, you know, multiple vape pens or remote control or whatever. It happens all the time. It's like a running joke with me, baby. Yeah.
That would be interesting for people.
Because I'm not shirtless or anything. Kitchen. They don't get stuck to my skin or nothing like that. They're just sort of hidden somewhere.
Yeah, I was sure.
Always make it to the kitchen. Stuck to your skin.
I know. That's what I said. I never make it to the kitchen. Like,
it's
that's
just,
wild.
I mean, I can't, like, just this belly here, it would just get under there. And yeah,
oh,
I guess
like
it,
when women put something under their titty.
Yeah,
like
so
the
it
titty
was,
holds it there. So the weight of your belly overhung enough?
And I mean, look, let's face it, I was also moist. Like I was sweating a little bit. So it definitely stuck to my skin. Because I sleep naked too. And like, yeah, Amber used to make fun of me because she would take pictures of me all the time. I'd be like, I'd roll over in bed and there was just like, you know, $7 worth of change stuck to my butt and my back that had just rolled around in there. And like, yeah, the worst of it that happened to me didn't even have anything to do with me. Well, I mean, yes, this is a very fat thing, but it wasn't about my fat body. It was about my fat essence, which is one of the first times I flew during the pandemic or whatever. And I got off a plane. I went to take my mask off and about 5 goldfish fell out of my mask because I had forgot that
the cracker
I had put, like, what I would do was I would pour them into my mask and just eat them like a horse. You know what I mean? So I didn't have to like keep putting my fingers
like
up like that,
yeah,
like a feed bag. And then I had, some of them had just been resting against my chin and I didn't realize it. And I went to take my mask off and yeah, like a children's recess snack worth of fucking goldfish just fell from my muzzle.
Why won't they give us a protein?
It doesn't make any sense.
Literal goldfish falling out of your mask at the airport. Yeah. You looking at somebody and then running away like you got caught being a spy.
Yeah, it was a very, very shameful moment. And like I looked around and nobody was like making eye contact with me, but like several people had to have seen and known exactly what the fuck that was.
Yeah, they're not going to make eye contact after something like that happens, dude. We're going to all pretend like we didn't see any of that.
What's your fattest moment?
Me? My belly, as you guys know, is what gets big when I get fat. And I think just like I've had a few times where like I hit somebody with my stomach not knowing that I was close enough to touch them. Do you know what I mean? And like it being weird, like there was enough space in the situation, not like a concert hall where it's like, oh, sorry, didn't mean to bump you. It's like, why did you just touch me? And like in my head and my heart, it's like, because I didn't know that I was going to. It was an accident. It's just my belly's too big.
Yeah. One time on a plane, you know how like the exit row seats on a big plane are sometimes like off kilter to the other ones. And then there's those two in front of it. And there's kind of that big space. The service cart was coming and it was right here, so I couldn't get out the regular way to go to the bathroom. So I was like, I'm just gonna slide through this little area here where other two people are seated, and I got stuck. I was not fit enough to go through there, and I just had to give up halfway through and sit back in my seat. And everyone knew, especially the person who was sitting in the seat that I was sweatingly trying to grind myself through in order to be suave and go to the bathroom and not cause much of a scene. But yeah, couldn't get
I've
through.
Tried to support you, but just so much funnier, fat man.
I know. No, I mean, I never disagreed.
For 10 damn years.
I never disagreed that I wasn't. I said that I was willing to lose 15 to 20% of fat, of 15 to 20% of funny, if it also if I was still in better shape.
Yeah,
I agree. It's dude. I'm telling you, like, there's so many jokes that I have now in my act that I'm like, God damn it. If I could do something, if I could do the truffle shuffle like I used to after this, it would really make this hit harder. I'm not disagreeing with y'all. I just would like to live longer being 20% less funny. Yeah.
Sure. You could take your hat That's off fair. And I think it'd be fine.
Yeah, that ain't happening. But then, but we've talked about this a million times. That's true. And bald is funny, but it doesn't support my style.
Like, yeah, you might age into it, but I know exactly what you mean.
Well, like, dude, when I'm like 50 or whatever, it's like, whatever, you may as well be bald. But like, my style on stage, I get away with a lot of things because I have sort of an all shucks, he's just a kid kind of charm, big cheeks. And if I'm bald, a lot of these things are just like, why is this old man screaming at us? You know what I mean? It just doesn't, I don't get the all shucks.
If you wear a diaper too, a diaper, yep, and
I can wear a diaper,
then it's even younger, so it plays even better. It's like, oh, it's a baby being funny.
If I do decide to go full bald on stage, you have no idea how much better in shape I'll have to be to ever decide to do that. Like, there will come a day where I'm like, okay, you can be bald, but like, I will have to take my fitness up another notch because like, I have to be like, if you knew who I was before, then you know how much better in shape I am right now. But nobody looks at me and goes, look at that fit feller. I would have to be someone who was, nobody knows me, that's a really in shape person noticeably before I would ever take my hat off.
Well, speaking of being bald on stage, two quick segues. One, my hairline, obviously it goes back like that. And like, there's so many times where people will take a picture of me when I'm on stage from the side.
Corn dogging it.
Every single time I see that and I'm like, oh my God. I forgot I look like that. And I got called Bob Odenkirk on the internet two times this
y'all
morning.
Y'all have a similarity for sure.
Yeah, there's a thing for sure. But also, speaking of being bald on stage, quick plugs. Go to DrewMorganComedy.com right now for the tickets. I'm updating that website as soon as we're done here. I have links up for me and DJ Lewis are going to be at Zany's Nashville June 1st. On June 4th, we're going to be in Asheville, I think at Beauty Bar. On June 10th, we're going to be in Chattanooga, DJ's hometown. We're going to do the Cherry Street Tavern and have a punk band. DJ set that up. Should be rad. Nice. And then we're going to be at Avalon Brewing in Birmingham on June 22nd. Those are the ones I have links for. I have other dates coming down the pipe, but since we're very close to June 1st, I wanted to let everybody know, please go support us so that me and DJ don't have to move with his goat into the woods.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer.
On that note, you go to treycrowder.com and see my dates this summer, too. Come see me. That'll hit. First up is Ohio in the middle of late June, June 21st. But a bunch of others after that, too. And
I'm the odd man out. I'm not doing any dates this summer. So if you want to see me, then I guess you'll just, you won't. But
have to watch Putting On Airs.
You have to watch Putting On Airs, which is our new podcast. You can find all the links to it at puttingonairs.com or just wherever you get your podcasts, or to watch it, which I would recommend because we have a lovely studio that we filmed all of these in. You can go to watchpoa.com. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review if you feel like we've deserved it, and all that good stuff. So yeah,
cool.
I hit it, Joe.
All right,
warn them? Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, we can warn them, even though it'll be fine. Yeah, that we me and Drew will be steering the ship for the Well Read podcast for the next 3 weeks. In me and Trey's absence, we will be in Europe dallying about, as you do, doing some, you know, random dalliance. So Drew is going to take over the podcast. I don't know what the fuck he's going to do, but obviously
I'm going to have DJ as co-host. I've got some special third host planned. And also, I was hoping if you guys had time to get a few updates, like a little video updates.
Oh, yeah.
We'll for sure
absolutely.
Do that.
Yeah.
Have no British problem. Correspondence. It'll be a big time.
Yeah, for sure. So the next 3 weeks of the Well Read podcast are going to be different and fun. And with that, thank you all for listening to the Well Read Show. We love to stick around longer, but we got to go. Tune in next week if you got nothing to do. Thank you. God bless you. Good night and ski. What's up, y'all? Train Corps here.
Ski! Skate to date. We got us a new podcast, don't we, Trey Lane?
Damn straight. It's called Putting On Airs. We talk about fancy shit,
but in a dumb way. So if you like that, get on your phone calculator, type all the stuff in, and like, subscribe, tell all your friends, leave us a 5-star review. We sure would appreciate you. Skin it, boy.
Great cut.
My God, I feel like I'm totally capturing the mindset of the simpleton, but to what end?
You are a veritable sentient possum, as they have over there. You're doing fantastic.
Thank you, old boy.
Although I am dying inside.
Yes, of course. I do not need this. I hope it goes well.